It's just a wake-up call. All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf hey, page 5. We are picking up Dalet Amud Beis 4b, and we're picking up 11 lines up from the bottom. It's a beautiful, beautiful daf today. A lot to do. Okay, our shir is dedicated. Le'ilui Nishmas Eliezer ben Chronimus. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Hashem will have a complete and enduring aliyah. So I know you probably weren't able to sleep last night because we left off in the middle of a riveting machlokas of yesh eim lemikra, yesh eim lemasores, when there is a contradiction between the way the word is spoken and the way the word is written. So lemaisa, which form ultimately attains supremacy? So that's our machlokas. So remember, we see sort on this. We went back and forth on this a little bit yesterday, tried to figure out, is there machlokas? Not a machlokas. So we left off yesterday with elo liolam pligi. In reality, there is a machlokas as to whether or not we say yesh eim lemikra, yesh eim lemasores. Which wind do we give supremacy to? The Hani Mediki Pligi, when there is there a machlokes, Hecha Deshani Krami Masores, that's only about say when the way the word is spoken is different than the word way the word is written. Aval Hai, because remember both say a lot of this hinged on Lo Sivashel Gedi Bachalevi Mo. And assuming that if you don't darshan yesh em lemikra, so then it could just easily go ahead and be read Lo Sivashel Gedi Bechelev Imo. In which case the prohibition wouldn't be Basar Bechalov, but the prohibition would be Basar Bechelev, which I will say, of course, is not the prohibition. Aval Hai Chalav Bechelev, Dechi Adadininu, yesh em lemikra. And mostly when it comes to Chalav and Chelev, where again they're both the same, meaning the words are exactly the same, so everybody would agree in that case, yesh em lemikra. We give supremacy to the way the word is read, and therefore we follow our Masorah that it's Chalav. Vahare Yira or Yira'eh Yira'eh. Listen to this. We're going to get into an interesting sugya here. So the Torah is talking about the obligation of Aliyah L'Regel, of making the trip to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. So the pasuk says Shalosh Pamim Vashana Yera'eh Kol Zechur Chas Panei Hashem. So the word is Yera'eh. He will be seen. The individual who is ascending will be seen. Yet again, it could also be read as Yira'eh. He will see. So the Gemara says, Dupligi. We see a machlok because I had a darshan that word. This sanya, Yochanan ben Dahavai Omrishon Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. So Yochanan ben Dahavai said, name Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Hasum be echa me'enov, pata min ariyah. We'll say if somebody is blind in one eye, they are pata from ri'iyah. Ri'iyah means the obligation for aliyah l'regel. If a person is blind in one eye, they are not obligated to ascend to Yerushalayim on the 3 yamim tovim. So where do we know that from? Shne'emar yir'eh yeira'eh. Kiderech shebali ra'os, kach bali ra'os. Bosai, in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol comes to see what's happening in Yerushalayim, so he comes to be seen. Ma lir'os b'shteinov, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol sees with 2 eyes, af lir'os b'shteinov, so too he comes to be seen with 2 eyes as well. Therefore, Bosai, the Gemara dashes from here, that if a person only has 1 eye, therefore they are pater ultimately from aliyah l'regel. So we'll say here you see that the word yir'eh and yira'eh ultimately are written the same, yet the machlokis still applies. You're right. Let's take this out for just a moment. Let's deal with Basar B'chalav. Pasuk says, Lo Sivashel Gedi B'chalev Imo. Do not cook a kid in its mother's milk. Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Ultimately, again, the Torah is asering Bishul. It will say, for halachic Bishul to occur, you need what? You need what? You need at least 1 liquid medium. Or you need a liquid medium. That's the definition of Bishul. Cooking 2 items together when one of them is not a liquid is not called Bishul. We call the variety of other forms of cooking, meaning bishul is a very, there's tigun, there's afia, there are different types of cooking. The definition of bishul is where there is a liquid medium present. Therefore, again, says Rav Acharei, the way we know to read that word chalav and not chalav is how? Because the Torah uses the word bishul. Since he uses the word bishul, therefore, by definition, we know we're talking about a liquid. So we'll say, the Gemara essentially ends here. It ends here. Now, what's our resolution? So the answer is, it's a machlokes. We'll say sometimes it's not resolution. So it's a machlokes. This is still an ongoing machlokes to this very day. I mean, nobody's actually arguing about this today, but we're reading the Gemara. So yesh em lemikra, yesh em lemasores. And again, this machlokes appears throughout Shas. Do we give supremacy to the spoken word, to the written word? The truth is, more times than not, we end up paskening gish em lemikra. We end up paskening that supremacy is given to the written. But nevertheless, this is a machlokes that exists. Tanah Bonam. But so we're going to get some very interesting sugyas. Dinei mamonos b'shlosha. We've established already that monetary law is adjudicated by a beis din of three people. V'imhaya mumcha, but if someone is an expert, v'imhaya mumcha l'rabim, if someone is an expert, considered an expert by the public, dan afilu yichidi, then a person could judge even by themselves. So we're being introduced now to a new concept called the yachid mumcha. The yachid mumcha is this expert judge, and the expert judge has the ability to adjudicate cases by himself. We're going to talk about the credentials in just a moment. I'm Rav Nachman, kigon ana don dinei mamonos b'yichidi. So Rav Nachman said, like me, I can judge monetary cases myself. Of course, I still understand, this is not a statement of gaiva. You know, of course, people think that because I'm not allowed to be gaiva, about gaiva, I can't be self-assured. A person, gaiva means thinking that you are more than you are. That's arrogance. Being properly self-assured means I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what I've accomplished. I know what I can do. I also know how much more I have to do. So Rav Nachman is saying, I can adjudicate monetary cases by myself because I'm a mumcha in the halacha. I'm an expert in the halacha. Rav Chiya could go, I know, don dinei mamonos b'yichidi. Rav Chiya also said, like me, I'm an expert in monetary law and I could judge monetary cases myself. Ibai lahu. Keep going, I know. So we'll say, so what does this mean, like me? When Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya said, like me, what does like me mean? So, digamirna, visavirna. So we'll say, does it mean someone, gamirna, this is actually very interesting. Bless you. Gamirna means, I've learned, if you look at Rashi, gamirna, shmuos, dinin merabosai, shmuos, you know, I've learned a lot of halacha, visavirna. This is interesting. Look at Rashi. Yodea ani lahosif uliyashev tamim midati. So we'll say, to amass knowledge is very important. But more important is svara. Svara means the ability to learn something and then take a principle, isolate a principle, and utilize it in deciding a different scenario. This is, by the way, in the Torah, this is referred to as Dera Chachamim and Nivonim. Right? So a Chacham is someone who has knowledge. A Navon, Rashi HaKadosh says, is someone who is able to take the knowledge he learned and ultimately apply it elsewhere as well. So we know that it being, so Kigon Ana means well-versed, ability to apply, v'nakitna reshusa, and does this person have to have received permission from the Reish Galusa? So we'll say, this is assuming this is occurring right now in Bavel. In Bavel, the head of the Jewish community was the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was a little bit like a monarchy, literally means the head of the Galus. He was, the Reish Galusa usually was a descendant of the Davidic line. So again, there was an element of Malchus that was there, and he was vested with incredible authority. So in order to judge, in order to be a lone judge, do I have to have received permission from the Reish Galusa to adjudicate cases or not? Or, but if I didn't get permission, maybe I don't have the right to adjudicate. So we'll say everybody agrees that you have to have gamirna and savirna. I have to be knowledgeable, and I have to have the ability to learn principles and be able to apply them in other cases. The shaila is, do I need permission from the Reish Galusa to go ahead and adjudicate cases or not? So Tashma, the Marzutra Bered Rav Nachman, Don Dinei V'ta'a, Marzutra Bered Rav Nachman, so Nachman adjudicated the case. And it was apparently he judged it, he adjudicated it by himself. And he made a mistake. He made a mistake, right? He delivered an erroneous ruling. Aslaka made Rav Yosef, so he came before Rav Yosef, says, what do I do? Amrale im kibluch alayhu lo sishalim. If the litigants accepted you upon them. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. It's the first short line. In kibloch alayhu legamrei lelech acharecha im ledin im litos velo yitva ucha lo sishan. So we'll say, if the litigants agreed to essentially accept your judgment as binding judgment, no matter what you say, then you are not obligated to go ahead and pay them any kind of damages. In other words, that if they made a blind acceptance, they signed at the beginning, we hereby agree to accept, meaning recognizing that there's always a potential for human error in human judgment. If they just just wholly accepted your judgment, then lemaisa, you're not chayiv for any kind of erroneous ruling. V'lo, but if they didn't, in other words, if they agree to accept your judgment, provided that what? It was correct. Then halacha lemaisa, you're chayiv for damages. Then Zil Shlim. Shmang Rabbah say, what do you see from here? Kilo Nakit Rishusa Dine Dina. Rabbah say, first of all, this was a case where he did not receive permission from the Reish Kalusa. He did not receive the permission from the Reish Kalusa. And you see that here he was still permitted to judge. Therefore, what do you see from here? As long as you have Gamirna and Savirna, as long as you are knowledgeable and you know how to apply concepts, Lemais, you are permitted to adjudicate cases if you are Yachid Mumcha, even if you did not receive the Rishus, the permission of the Reish Kalusa. Shmamina. Amarav. Haiman de Baile Meidan Dina. Supposed to listen to this. If somebody wants to go ahead, if somebody wants to judge a case, Vi'itami Baile Miftura, and I will say, and he wants to make sure, meaning he wants, I guess what we'll call, like liability insurance. So he wants to make sure that in the event that he judges wrongly, that he's going to be covered, that he's not going to be personally liable. So what should he do? Lishko Rishusa Mibe Reish Kalusa. Then he should get permission from the Reish Kalusa. I was about to say that essentially, if you judge under the authority of the Reish Kalusa, there is no personal liability in cases of erroneous rulings. Now, we're going to define what this means. Like, what does it, you know, we'll say there's different types of erroneous. You know, there's a mistake, and there's like something egregious, right? And there's negligence. So we'll discuss the differences between those things. But for now, the point the Gemara is making over here is that if you want to free yourself from personal liability, then halacha lemaisa, again, get the permission of the Reish Kalusa to adjudicate. Now we're going to see, I'm going to say later on, I'm giving you coming attractions, but we're going to see this later on. This is because when you judge under the umbrella of the Reish Kalusa, you are covered by the concept of Hefker Beis and Hefker. Hefker Beis and Hefker means that Chazal have control over money. Chazal have control over money, and they have a control also to take money from one person and to give it to another person. So if you're judging, right, if you're judging under the authority of the Reish Kalusa, that means your judgments are binding, and even if you're wrong, you don't have personal liability. Shmuel also said that if you want personal liability, make sure to get permission from the Reish Kalusa. We should both say, understand, we spoke about this in the beginning of the Masechta, which is in Halacha. Halacha always provides someone a measure of legal protection when they are acting in a normative capacity of their given profession. So if I'm a doctor, and I'm going ahead and I'm trying to save a patient, and I accidentally kill them, assuming I'm not negligent. So there's no liability for me in that case. Because again, if I'm acting in the normal scope of my profession, then I'm covered. Same idea. If you are given permission from the Reish Kalusa, you are acting in the normal scope of your profession, and therefore you don't have personal liability. So Pshita, also this is very interesting. Interesting. So let's listen to this. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the following. We have two different communities in the times of the Gemara. We had a community in Eretz Yisrael and a community in Bavel. Now the truth is the major yeshivos are located in Bavel. Bavel is the center of Torah. Eretz Yisrael has plenty of Torah as well, but we know that Bavel was the epicenter. We know that why? Because the truth is, I mean, halavai, we're going to finish Talmud Bavli, then Amir Hashem, we're going to begin a Yerushalmi Shir as well, but we understand that that's not meaning Yerushalmi is not considered to be the authoritative Talmud. That's because ultimately, again, the epicenter of Torah learning was in Bavel. So the Gemara says the following. So you have, now we've established that judges should really get the permission of the local ruling rabbinic body. So I understand, mehacha lahacha, so a person who gets permission in Bavel from the Reish Kalusa could judge here. So mehasam lahasam, somebody gets permission in Eretz Yisrael, could judge in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, mehacha lahasam, nami mehani. So, and I also understand that if you get permission from the Reish Kalusa to judge cases in Bavel, they will say that license is also usable where? In Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why? Dahacha shevet vahasam mechokek. Because I will say here in Bavel, the rabbinic community is called the staff, and in Eretz Yisrael they're called the scepter. Kidisanyo, lo yasur shev miyuda. So the pasuk says, remember, this is in Parshas Vayechi, by the brachas of Yaakov into Yehuda. The staff shall not leave from Yehuda. Who does that refer to? Elo rashi galios shev Bavel. So we'll say the staff. The staff ultimately refers to the heads of the Golos and Bavel. Sherodin es Yisrael b'shevet. They rule over the populace, the rule of the Jewish people, with the staff. U'mechokik mibein raglav, which will say connotes authority. U'mechokik mibein raglav, and the scepter shall not leave from between his feet. Eilu b'nei banav shal Hillel, shemalam nin Torah b'radim. Ultimately, this refers to the grandchildren of Hillel in Eretz Yisrael, who teach Torah to the masses. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have great rabbanim, great teachers, but didn't have the same authority. In Bavel, ultimately the leaders were like the staff, had great authority. So therefore, Rabbi said, if you get permission to adjudicate cases in Bava from the Reish Kalusa, that license is absolutely usable in Eretz Yisrael. But what's the Shaila? Mehasam v'hochamai. Rabbi said, what happens if you get your license in Eretz Yisrael? Can you go ahead and use it in Bavel? So Tashma. So we'll say, this is really amazing. Tashma. The Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, listen to this. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, don dina v'ta. So we'll say, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, he judged the case, and he made a mistake. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Don dina, it's almost right across. Don dina b'bavel. So we'll say, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is adjudicating the case in Bavel. That's where he made the mistake. So what happens? He came to Eretz Yisrael, to Rabbi Chiya, and he said the following. He said, what's my liability? To which Rabbi Chiya responds, if the litigants went ahead and accepted your authority upon them, your complete authority upon them, then you're not obligated to compensate them for your erroneous ruling. But if they did not fully accept you, they only accepted you to make the right decision, then what? Zil shlim. Then you should really pay back any kind of damages. But one second. Rabbi Bar Chana had received permission from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is from Eretz Yisrael. He received permission from the Nasi. The Nasi is the head of, just like the Reish Kalusa is the head of the community in Babel, the Nasi is the head of the community in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana had received permission to adjudicate cases in Eretz Yisrael. He went to Babel, he adjudicated a case, and he made a mistake. Now he's back in Eretz Yisrael. He's asking Bichia, what do I need to do? So Rabbi Chia says, if they accepted you, fine. If they didn't accept you, you have to pay damages. Shema mina, mehasam lahacha, lo mahani. And we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that his license from the Nasi did not provide him coverage. Because we'll say, if a license in Eretz Yisrael worked in Babel, then what? Then that should give a judge full protection from personal liability. The fact that Rabbi Chiya said you have personal liability if they did not accept you in totality means that a legal license, a judicial license from Eretz Yisrael does not provide personal coverage in Bava. So that's amazing. V'lomahani, so you must try it v'lomahani. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Lo mehani shmamina. V'lo mehani, is that true? That a license from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel doesn't work? V'har Rabba Barav Huna, ki hava min si bahadi Reish Kalusa. Listen to this. Rabba Barav Huna got into an argument with the Reish Kalusa. So we'll say, at different times, the office of the Reish Kalusa was occupied by different kinds of people. Sometimes they were very righteous and pious Reish Kalusa, or Rashi Galusa, but many times, often there were people who exploited the power and exploited the wealth. So one time, Rabba Barav Huna got into a fight with the Reish Kalusa. Amar, lav minaychu nakita rishusa. So he said to them, he said, ultimately again, I don't get my authority from you. Rather, nakitna rishusa me abamari, va abamari me rav, the rabbi rabbi chia, rabbi chia me rabbi. So ultimately again, I get my authority really from the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say, so this argument seems to be, so Rabbi Rav Huna said the Reish Kalusa, my argument doesn't come from you, comes from Eretz Yisrael. What does this seem to indicate? This seems to indicate to us that a judicial license from Eretz Yisrael does in fact work even in Bavel, to which the Gemara says, b'milsa da'amahu da'okim lehu. To be honest, Rabbi Rav Huna was just talking, right? Meaning, what does it mean he was just talking, you know what I'm saying? That he was talking a good game, but it wasn't true. Meaning, at the end of the day, he was trying to stand up, whatever the Metzias is, he was trying to stand up to the Reish Kalusa and to be able to assert his own autonomy, but Lamaisa, he was wrong. At the end of the day, you can't practice in Bavel, or I should say differently. You could practice wherever you want, right? You can practice wherever you want. The Shaila just is the extent of your personal liability. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Rabbi Rav Huna was wrong. It's not true. You can't practice in Bavel with a judicial license from Eretz Yisrael without having personal liability. So if that's the case, that a judicial license from Eretz Yisrael doesn't work in Bavel, Rabbi Bar Chana Rishusa Dinaket Lamali. So we'll say, if that's the case, that it didn't work, so why did Rabbi Bar Chana, so we'll say, let's go back to the original case. Rabbi Bar Chana had gotten a judicial license from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to Bavel to adjudicate cases. He makes mistakes. He came back to Rabbi Chia and said, what do I do about my mistakes? So the Gemara says, I don't understand, if a judicial license from Eretz Yisrael doesn't work in Bavel, then why did Rabbi Bar Chana get the license? In other words, what was the point of getting a license from the Nasi, if it, and you're going to Bavel, when it doesn't work in Bavel? Oh, la'ayu. People say it mattered ultimately again for border cities. There were certain cities on the border of Babel that really had the status of Eretz Yisrael. So his legal license, his judicial license from the Nasi, although it wouldn't really be helpful in Babel proper, would absolutely be helpful in the border cities. My Rishusa, supposed to listen to this. So how did this Rishus work? So tell me, how did one attain this legal license? Right? What meaning, what was the process? So we'll say, watch this. This is amazing. When Rabbi Bar Chana went to Babel, watch this. So remember again, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is in Babel. Rabbi Chia is in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Bar Chana, who is going to see his relation of Rabbi Chia, is going now to Babel. Rabbi Chia wants to help his, we're going to see it's his nephew, Rabbi Bar Chana, go ahead and get a legal license in Babel. So he says to Rabbi, Ben Achi Yored LeBabel. Right? The son of my brother is going down to Babel. Yoreh. Rabbi asked, is he able to paskin halachas? So if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Yore, Isser veheter amar lahem Rabbi Yore. So Rabbi Chia says to Rabbi, can he paskin? Rabbi says, so Yore refers like to Yaradea, halachos of Isser veheter. So remember, Yaradea includes, like halachos, Yaradea includes Hilchos Nida, Yaradea includes Hilchos Kashrus, Shchita, Melicha, all different. So Yore, does he have the right to go ahead and paskin on, can he go ahead and paskin on Isser veheter? Rabbi said, Yore. Yes, he has permission to go ahead and paskin on Yore halachos, on Yoredeo. Yadin, does he have the right to adjudicate monetary principles? Rashi says, Birshus, v'yiftar midashalim. Does he have, you're giving him a judicial license to judge monetary law and therefore providing personal coverage? Yadin, he has the right to go ahead and judge monetary law. Yatir Bechoros, does he have the right to go ahead and permit Bechoros? So we'll say Yatir Bechoros means, you know, every firstborn animal is considered to be the property of the Kohen, unless, of course, what? It's blemished. If it's blemished, then Lamaise it remains with the owner. So you have to be an expert in examining blemishes. So Lamaise again, he asks, is my nephew permitted to go ahead and examine blemishes? To which Rebbe responded, Yatir. Yes, he is permitted. So we'll say, by the way, you understand the incredible part of this Gemara? Today, what we call smicha, the way we call smicha, is yore yore, that refers to a yaredeya smicha, or yadin yadin, right? Which refers ultimately to a choshen mishpat smicha. So I'll say, so just to understand that terminology comes from here, because that was the mechanism ultimately again for granting smicha. Yore, kiripaskin yaredeya, yore, yes. Yadin, kiripaskin hildine mominis, yadin, incredible. All comes from this little exchange. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Chiyah le Rabbi. So we'll say another story. So Rabbi Chiyah said to Rabbi, Ben Achusi, this is now the son of my sister, Yored Lebavel, is going down to Babel. Yore, is he permitted to paskin in Yoredeya Shailas? Yore, Rabbi said yes. Yadin, can he paskin Choshen Mishpat Shailas? Yadin, Yatir Bechoros, is he permitted to go ahead and permit blemished animals? So the Gemara says, Al Yatir. No, Rabbi said no. Rabbi said no. So we'll say, before we discuss that, Maishna Lamar de Kakarile Benachi, or Maishna Lamar de Kakarile Benachosi. Why is it in the first case that Rabbi Chia referred to his nephew as the son of my brother, and in the second case he referred to his nephew as the son of my sister? So the Gemara says, V'chitema, hachiyavim ha'isam. Maybe that's just what they were. Right? Meaning, maybe the first nephew was the son of his brother, and the second nephew was the son of his sister. Maybe that's what it was. So the Gemara says, no. V'ha'amar, that can't be, because V'ha'amar Mar said the following. We'll say, so again, remember, just so we understand the names. In the first case, Rabbi Chia's nephew was Rabbi Bar Chana. In the second case, his nephew was Rav. He refers to Rabbi Bar Chana as the son of his brother. He refers to Rav as the son of his sister. So the Gemara says, why the distinction? Well, maybe Rabbi Bar Chana was the son of his brother, and Rav was the son of his sister. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not the case, and I'll tell you why. V'amar mar, Aivu v'chana v'shilo umarta, Rabbi Chia, Kulu b'nei Abba bar acha karsala, mikafri habu. These, all of these men were the sons of the same father, Abba bar acha mikarsala. So they were brothers. Rather says the Gemara, Rav bar achuha So we'll say the difference was, without getting into all the technicalities here, Rav was the product of the union between the half-sister and half-brother of Rabbi Chiya. In other words, Rabbi Chiya was born to a man and a woman, both who had children from previous marriages. Those two children, so Rabbi Chiya's father had a son from a previous marriage, Rabbi Chiya's mother had a daughter from a previous marriage. Those two children actually got married, which again, they're not related, they're stepchildren, they got married and they had a child. That child was Rav. So we'll say, in essence, Rav's nephew from that union was technically the son of Rav's half-brother, and the son of Rabbi Chiya's half-sister. Okay, really step-brother, step-sister. Good. So it says, I'm sorry, half-brother, half-sister. So it says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Chana Barachu Adla Bar Achse. But on the other hand, it says, Rabba Bar Chana was the son of Rabbi Chiya's brother, not the son of Rabbi Chiya's sister. Fine. V'boisei. Another possibility it says what? Omabes. Al Shem Chachmaso. This is beautiful. That's when Rabbi Chiya called Rav the son of his sister, it wasn't actually descriptive of a familial relationship. Rather, Al Shem Chachmaso. Rather, I will say it was the son of his sister was a reference ultimately again to Rav's wisdom. To Rav's wisdom. Dichsiv emor lachachma achosiat. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. So I will say, when Rabbi Chiya introduces his nephew Rav to Rebbe, he says, the son of my sister is coming down to Bavel. But the son of my sister is not my biological sister. The son of my sister is Emar Lechachma Achosiat. The son of my sister, the sister of wisdom. In other words, I'm sending you down someone special. Are you willing to grant them the permission to make a difference in the Babylonian community? Yatir Bechoros Al Yatir. So let's remember again. So whereas Rabbi Bar Chana was given permission, second line, Hey Amad Beis, 5b. Whereas Rabbi Bar Chana was given permission to what? To go ahead and deal with Bechoros, Rav was not given that permission. So the Gemara says, my time. Well, what's the reason? Maybe you're going to say it's because Rav was not wise enough. Maybe he just didn't know the halachos. In other words, he wasn't given the permission. Because he didn't have the skill set. That can't be. Rav was exceptionally smart. Maybe because Rav said, just, okay, it was a big Talmud Chacham. Rav said, knowing Mumin, right, knowing what kind of Mum, what kind of blemishes disqualified before, is a whole nother skill set. Maybe he just didn't possess that skill set. That's not true either. V'homer at Rav, Shmona Asar Chadoshim Gadalti Eitzel Roa Behima. Rav said, listen to this. Rav apprenticed with the shepherd for 18 months. Leida Eza Mum Kavua, the Eza Mum Over. It was like, to know the difference, a different kind of blemishes. Because remember, the type of blemishes that disqualifies a Bechor animal, Bosei, is what's called a Mum Kavua, an establishment. But a Mum Over, which is something that's going to heal and go away, does not disqualify the animal. So if that's the case, Rav clearly seems to have the qualifications to go ahead and judge Bechoros. Rather, they did this ultimately again to give kavod to Rabbi Bar Chana. The Rabbi Bar Chana should be the one who paskins the Bechor Shailas, and no one else should paskin them. The other possibility is Mishum Hagufei the Rav Bikia Bumumi Tvei Vishari Mumi Delo Yadi Inshi. Well, this is actually a very interesting answer. The other possibility is that Rav was too good. It was too good, right? You're too good to go ahead and deal with Bechoros. So we'll say, what does that mean? Rav actually had an expert knowledge in these things, that they were concerned he would end up being matir things. He would end up being matir things that they had not been matir up until this point. People would make certain assumptions based on his piske halacha, and it would come to be matir many things that should not be permitted. Va'amri kiyai gavna sharav, vasal mishen mum over. So we'll say, people might say, in other words, they were concerned that Rav would, because of his bikiyos, because of his incredible knowledge and expertise, would introduce new standards. Those people would learn from those particular standards and end up making mistakes, being matir certain women that were not mutter. Therefore, again, they vested the authority with Rav Bar Chana, his cousin, Rav's cousin, but not with Rav himself. But so what's also amazing about this Gemara is you see these relationships, which are amazing. Can you imagine in one mishpacha, you have Rabbi Chiya, Rav Bar Chana, and Rav. Oh, can you imagine that Halig Muslimin? I'm just saying, like, it's just incredible to think about the incredible Kiddusha concentrated in one mishpacha. Amazing. So the Gemara says, Yora, Igomir Yeshusa, Lamali Lemishkal. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If at the end of the day, If somebody is learned, why do they have to get permission? I was supposed to say, at the end of the day, so Rabbi Chiya is sending his nephews down to Bavel, and he's asking permission for them to pass Kana Lachaba. I don't understand. If they're Talmidei Chachamim, then why do you need permission? Why do I have to get permission to pass Kana Halacha if I know the Halacha? So the Gemara says, Mishum Maisa Shahaya. I'm supposed to listen to this. It's always because of a Maisa Shahaya. So what's the Maisa Shahaya? Disanyo. Pam achas halach Rabbi lemakom echad. One time Rabbi went to a particular place. V'ra'a b'nei adam shemagavlin isosein b'tumah. And Rabbi said he saw people were kneading their dough b'tumah. What that means is, Rashi points out, they were not makbid to go, they were not careful to make sure that the utensils that they were using for kneading were tahar. Were tahar. Why is it that you're kneading your dough in utensils that are tameh? Because one time we had a scholar in residence, right? There was a Talmid Chacham who came here. And he taught us, he taught us means swamp waters. Aga, marsh, maybe marsh is the better word, right? Marsh waters. I was supposed to say, you know, when I say swamp, you get like this disgusting. What it means is still bodies of water. Wetlands. Is that offensive? I'm sorry. Right? Good. So wetlands. I was saying the idea is non-flowing bodies of water, stagnant bodies of water. So a Talmid Chacham once came here and he taught us that waters from stagnant bodies, ein machshirin. Do not, suppose, you know, in order for something to be makabel tuma, it has to be mukshar, it has to come in contact with a liquid. Since Talmid Chacham came along and told us that maybe some swamp waters or wetland waters do not go ahead, they're not makshir a kli to be makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, vahu, so they misunderstood. What he actually told them was, vahu, may beitzim dar shalahu. He didn't say may beitzim, he said may beitzim, eggs. Eggs. That even though, again, eggs are a liquid, eggs are not. Eggs do not make something hukshar like habal tumah. I was going to say, in order for a utensil to be receptive, to become tameh, it has to come in contact with one of seven types of liquids. Eggs are not one of those liquids. See, he said, Talmid Chacham said, may beitzim. But maybe his pronunciation or whatever it is was off. They thought he said made b'tzayim swamp waters. So the Gemara says va'inhu saver made b'tzayim kamar v'tou nami b'ha. And also they made the mistake in the following idea. Also me karmion u'me figa psulim mipnei shehem made b'tzayim. So I'll say, so what happens? So what the me karmion me figa? Rashi points out that these are swamps. These are swamps. If you take a look. Karmion and Piga, Naros Shalagamim. These are rivers of swamps. So the idea is, again, these are stagnant bodies of water. So the Gemara said, so this Talmid Chacham Darshan, and they're psulin. They both said they're psulin for water of Para Aduma. Because remember, again, you take the ashes of the Para Aduma and you have to mix it with what? Mayim Chayim, which means water from a spring. So you can't take water from a stagnant body. So what happens? Ve'inhu saver, these townspeople thought, midilagabe chatas psili, since you can't use it for paraduma, achshuri namilo achmachshuri. Therefore again, since it's possible for paraduma, it also is not capable of making something receptive to tuma. Velohi, but in fact they were wrong. Hasam yin chatos bo'inamayim chayim. What's about paraduma? There's difference. It's causing mayim chayim, need for spring water. Haha, achshuri koldu machshuri. They will say, but again, when it comes to achshur kila, making a utensil receptive to makabel tuma, any type of water will do. So we'll say, so what did they say? Tana. So they ruled, ba'osa shah gazru, tamid al yore ele imke nota rishus me rabbo. They will say, from after this episode, the rabbis passed an edict which says, you cannot paskin halacha unless you receive rishus from your Rebbe. In other words, we'll say there has to be a process, there has to be a framework for rabbinic accreditation. Otherwise, anyone could show up, say anything that they want. So therefore, in order to ensure that the right people are disseminating the right information, there's an accreditation process. If you look at Rashi, just a moment, Nota Rishus Mirabo, This is amazing. So it's sometimes a person could go ahead and possess all the right knowledge. But I will say, just as important as possessing knowledge is what? Is the ability to communicate it effectively. Therefore, again, even if we know that someone was a great Talmud Chacham, they would still have to receive Rishus before passing Halachas. Why? To make sure that they were able to convey it in a clear and appropriate fashion. Because again, even if you have the knowledge, but you don't know how to properly convey it, you see the mistakes that can be made. Tanchum Rabbi Ami. So let's listen to this. Tanchum, the son of Rabbi Ami, Ikla L'Chatar. He went to a place called Chatar. Chatar was the name of a place. Dorish Lehu, he darshined, Mutar Lul Sos Chitin B'Pesach, that you could soak, you were supposed to say, what they used to do is, they used to soak some wheat in water to soften it, and they would crush it immediately. So Tanchum passing that this is mutter, and we're not choshesh, we're not worried about it becoming chametz, because it's only soaked for such a short amount of time and crushed up immediately. Amru lo, lav Rabbi Mani divin suri ikahacha. So he said to Tanchum, excuse me, who are you? Right? After all, you're a great Talmud Chacham, but Rabbi Mani divin sur is here. There's a greater Talmud Chacham than you here, meaning your Rebbe's here. V'tanya, Talmud al yora halacha b'makom rabo, and I was to be paskin that a Talmud should not paskin halacha in the place of his Rebbe. El imkin hayarachok menu shalosh parsos kegemachane Yisrael. A Talmud should not paskin halacha in the presence of his Rebbe, unless, of course, what they both say, he's at least three parsos, which is a significant distance. Three parsos away. Where do we get three parsos? Three parsos is the distance, was the length of Machane Yisrael, the Jewish camp in Eretz in the Midbar. So I said to Tanchum, how can you paskin halachas when your Rebbe's right here? To which they said, Amar lo, lav adatai. Tanchum said, I'm sorry, I did not know. I did not know my Rebbe was here. Had I known, I would not have gone and paskin halachas. Rebbe Chiya chazi lahu garva davekar be'sakvar. Supposed to listen to this. Rebbe Chiya saw a man who was standing in the cemetery. Amar lo, lav ben ish ploni koinata, aren't you a kohen? What are you doing in the cemetery? Amar lo, in. So the man said, yes, you're right. Avua dahu gavra. The father of this man, in other words, he was referring to his own father, Giva Einayim Hava. I will say, literally means, Giva Einayim means he had high eyes, which means he followed after his eyes, he followed after his desires. And what happens? Nasan Einav Begrusha, he went after, right, he ended up marrying a divorcee, Dechilalo, and ultimately, again, I am the result of that union. I will say, now there's something very interesting over here. If you look at Rashi says over here, Rashi says over here, take a look, Rabbi Chiya Chazye. He says, Rashi says, Lo is parashlan my bai hacha. Rashi says, I have absolutely no idea why this story is here. Right? What is this doing here? So we'll say, listen to this, it's actually quite amazing. Vinira be'inai, deha asa shina, there is a point to this story, which is what? Afa gab Rabbi Chiya tamido de Rebbe hava, ubim komo de Rebbe hava. We'll say, listen to this. We just got finished saying, right, we had the previous story where Tanchum ended up accidentally passing halacha, even though his Rebbe, Rab Mani, was around. And Tanchum later on apologized, had I known my Rebbe was present, I would not have paskin halacha. Now I will say, fast forward to the next story. Rabbi Chiya, right? Now Rabbi Chiya is the Talmud of Rebbe. And yet Rabbi Chiya is in the locale of Rebbe, and Rabbi Chiya is paskin halacha, where his Rebbe is. In other words, again, there's a Kohen, he's telling this Kohen, get out of the cemetery, which in essence is paskin halacha in the presence of his Rebbe. The Gemara says, listen to this, Lo chalakava the Rebbe, me lahafish zem min ha'isser, de le'inyan afrushe me isura, Ein kan mora halacha lifnei rabo. Oh, Rashi's about to say something amazing. Even though we just got finished saying what? That if you're going to go to a new locale and you're going to paskin halacha, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Number one, you need to get rishus. Right? You need to get rishus. You can't pass halacha without rishus. That's number one. Number two, you can't paskin halacha in the presence of your Rebbe. But if you see another Jew committing an aveira, Rabosai, even if your Rebbe is present, you are permitted to go at a paskin halacha in order to go ahead and prevent that Jew from sinning. That, says the Gemara, is the point of this story. That even though Rabbi Chiya was the Talmud of Rebbe, and even though he's in the locale of Rebbe, ultimately, in order to prevent this other Jew from committing an aveira, he was permitted to go ahead and quote unquote pasul halacha rabbosa, even though this is not really such a psak halacha, right? This is just simply sharing a halacha, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Nevertheless, I might have thought that in a place where my Rebbe is, I shouldn't be rendering any legal decisions, even if they're obvious legal decisions. Kamash malon that what? Kamash malon that rabbosa, in this case where I have the ability to be mafrish a jume yisura, I have the ability to separate it from a prohibition, I should make sure to do so. Rabbosa, we'll stop over here for today. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.